The following message by Pastor Bob Sheridan is brought to you by the ministries of Palos Bible Church. For more information, please visit palosbiblechurch.com.
We've been going through a short series during this month looking at the birth of Jesus Christ and some of the details that have to do with it, and we're going to continue that today. Start off with something that may be considered trivia. Anybody know this date? October 14th, 1987? Some of the children would say, no, I don't know it because I wasn't born yet. But if you were alive at this time, you would remember something. Let me give you another hint. Baby Jessica. How many remember now? Okay. Wherever you were in the United States, over a two-day period of time, this situation just gripped our country. There was this small child, 16-month-old baby Jessica, who was being watched and cared for during the day. The mother was not around, and they don't know how it happened. They thought there was a stone that was over it, but it was a small well casing, a pipe that was only 8 inches in diameter, and Jessica fell down. And as she fell, I'm reminding you, she fell 22 feet down in that well casing. They learned of it immediately. The police were called. What could they do? The word went out, and then it spread. And where people would say there's nothing that can be done, everyone that could be involved got involved. The best that were in the world regarding, because America has resources, regarding men and equipment and all that could be done. And, you know, they went ahead and sunk a different well alongside of it that a man could be able to go down. But the rock that was around her or that was above her, some of it, they said, was harder than granite. This was not an easy task. This would have almost seemed like an impossible task. But they worked. And they worked and they worked and they worked. 58 hours. And no one stopped. There were others that were willing to step up when your shift is over, come on out. And the people that were there didn't want to come out. Why? Because there was a life. And that life became precious to every individual who was involved. Do you remember it? Wherever you were, if you were alive at this time, in the evening, 2 days later, there emerged in the evening a worker with baby Jessica in his arms. And no matter who you were, men, women, children, there was crying and there was laughter and there was high-fiving and there was hugging grown men that were crying because she was saved. She was rescued. They went ahead and made up something to go over that well casing. That's the size of the hole that Jessica had fallen into, and they never wanted it to happen again. Why do I share that with you? Listen up. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and I'm convinced that because of our sin, all of us, we have as much chance of saving ourselves as baby Jessica did." She needed a rescuer. And by the grace of God, there was one found, huh? Everyone, individuals, equipment that they brought, all for the purpose of being able to see her out and see her taken care of. Well, you know what? Through the Bible, we end up learning that God understood our need. And that throughout the Old Testament, there are prophecies that were given regarding the fact that God was going to send a Messiah who would be the rescuer that all of mankind needed. Came across something in my study I just want to share with you. Scripture plainly presents that prophecy, the ability to predict the future clearly, was a manifestation of God's power, glorifying Him as God, exalting His redemptive work in the person of Christ, and setting forth the divine character of His revealed Word. This is not called the Word of man. This is called the Word of God. The words of fulfilled prophecies with regard to the first advent of Christ. Why do I say first advent of Christ? Because there's going to be a second. Jesus Christ is coming again. But I digress. Let's get back to this, to text. That first advent of Christ, prophecies being fulfilled, speak of the power and wisdom of God in being able to have a divine provision for the needs of mankind. Prophecy is not just somebody being able to give their best educated guess. It was the ability divinely given to be able to give a word of something that was sure to take place in the future that humanly no one could possibly know. In the Old Testament, we learn that a prophet of God, if he's truly speaking on God's behalf, his words will not contradict a single word of Scripture. In fact, if he gave a series of prophecies and one of them did not come to pass, he was not a prophet of God. A prophet of God, everything that they gave was accurate and correct. Why? Because God wanted it clear to mankind that he wanted to bring a rescuer. Because he loves us. The Bible tells us God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Just a couple of things I came across. Odds of winning the lottery, not encouraging it, by the way. 1 in 259 million. Odds of a man fulfilling 8 prophecies. 17 of them. I don't know what you call that, all right? But if you know what? Here's the Sunday school answer. It's a lot, okay? Jesus actually fulfilled over 300 prophecies. The probability of 48 prophecies being fulfilled by any one man, 1 in 10 to the 157th power. One with 157 zeros after it. But we learn 300 prophecies were fulfilled by Jesus Christ. What's going on? This is not a work of man. Jesus coming into the world is the fulfillment of Scripture so that we know this is the plan of God. How important for us to be able to understand that. So a couple of minutes. The program has gone on, and we're grateful for it. And the gospel's in there, by the way. And I thought, should I stand up and say, how many feel we've already gotten the message? We don't need one. But I didn't even offer that option. Here I am, and we're covering this today. But think with me. We're not going to go through all the passages, but, you know, just think about it. Old Testament prophecy, whether it's Genesis or Jeremiah, Micah, Isaiah. We already covered Isaiah 7:14 last week, you know, talking about the fact that Jesus would be born of a virgin, but given gifts, fled to Egypt, and even the fact that Herod, not having the magi, the wise men, come back, was so incensed that he put out a call that all children up to the age of 2, male children, would be killed. And they were. But God is not caught off guard by man. And we find that Mary and Joseph took Jesus to Egypt until Herod died, very effectively up here in the front. I was watching. And then they ended up coming back and going to Nazareth. God fulfilling his word regarding prophecy. If you've got your Bibles, would you do this with me? Would you go with me back to the Old Testament to the book of Micah chapter 5 verse 2. It's in the minor prophets. You've got major prophets there, the longer ones, and then you've got the minor prophets. And I'm thinking of the book of Micah. Some people, you know what, they don't even read this section. They just go, you know, I really prefer the New Testament to the Old Testament. But the scriptures give us important information. We find Micah chapter 5 verse 2. Now that I got you to go there, here it is. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah. Why Ephrathah? Because up in the north, there was another Bethlehem. I grew up in a town called Berkeley. Now, some of you here go, oh, I know where that's at. And others of you say, Pastor was born in California? Because a lot of people, when they think Berkeley, they just go to California. No, I was actually born in a suburb of Chicago that's called Berkeley. But Jesus was not just going to be born in some Bethlehem. God's prophecies are clear, precise, so that there's no question as to whether it's fulfilled or not fulfilled. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, through you, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting. You see, Jesus came to earth and was born, but the Jesus we're talking about is God the Son. He was actually there at creation. His comings forth, going forth, are from old, from everlasting. He is the I Am. Past, present, future. Here he is, Almighty God. But he was going to come to earth. And where would he be born? Bethlehem. Bethlehem Ephrathah. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. New Testament. Would you go with me here to the book of Luke? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all end up giving to us information about a Savior who is going to come. But in Luke, toward the end of the book, chapter 24, we learn this. Jesus has gone to the cross. He has died. And 3 days later, he arose. Because he was not just a man, he was God. 3 days later, he arose. And in chapter 24, a risen Christ is on a road to Emmaus with some individuals who had been followers of Jesus. I can't give you the details and have you understand it, but they didn't get it. They didn't understand it was him that was there. Jesus had died. And here they are now walking, and he's talking with them and asking them questions. And then we find verse 25. It says this, "Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." Who? The prophets. See, the prophets have spoken. "Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded to them in all the scripture the things concerning" who? What did Jesus do? Wouldn't that have been a day to be on the road to Emmaus? To have Jesus there. And the Bible tells us that beginning at Moses, he's the author of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We call it the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Beginning at Moses, and then all of the prophets, Jesus began to share with them about the scriptures concerning himself. Because he's the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament prophecies. What is the prophetic word? It is nothing less than a word from God. Given through human beings, but it's not human beings saying, you know, like fortune cookie, something good's going to happen to you tomorrow. And anybody could say something good happened. No, that's not prophecy in the scriptures. It's precise. It's clear. There's no other way to explain it except that it says what it says. And Jesus fulfilled, what do you think, 3/4 of them? All. Beginning at Moses and the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all of the scriptures that concerned himself. You see, we needed a rescuer. Just like a baby Jessica, we needed a rescuer. And the sad thing is that because we're not stuck in a pipe, some people don't even understand it. We think we're okay. We're getting along and we're doing fine. But all of us have sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. What's that mean? That means that there's a holy God and there's sinful man. How can man ever be rescued and have a relationship with a holy God? And the answer is Jesus. Jesus came because you and I needed a rescuer. Think about that. So many people that are spiritually blind and just don't see. But I need you to understand today that Jesus came because I needed a rescuer. And you do too. And we understand that truth that we've heard over and over and over. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, it's available to anyone and everyone, whosoever believes in him. Why? Because there's something God's looking for from us. It's faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So you look nice. It's good to have you here, but being in church doesn't save you. And even listening to Pastor Sheridan for a period of time doesn't save you. Payless Bible Church can't save you. But Jesus Christ, he came so that you and I could be saved, that you and I could be rescued. That's the good news of Christmas. That's what it's all about. It's beautiful, the lights and the trees and all that goes together with it. But you know where we get the idea of being able to give presents? Because Christmas was the greatest gift that the world has ever received, where God sent his Son to come into the world. Jessica needed a rescuer, and people stood up to do that. And I need you to know that if some other agency of God, some other resource could have accomplished the work, that's what he would have sent. If anything in the animal kingdom could have been used and everything would be done, then we didn't need anyone else. If angels could have come and something in their power, they could have done it, that we would have been taken care of, then that's what would have been done. But though you've got Mary and Joseph and, let me remember now, the shepherds and the angels and the wise men, it's Jesus. Because he's going to grow up and he's going to give his life on the cross. And when God the Father looked down at that moment on the cross, he didn't see his son. He saw my sin. Jesus took my sin and your sin, and he paid the debt that I could not have paid, that you could not have paid. Can you imagine the police being able to come to that site in Midland, Texas, and say, well, you know, let's encourage her. I think she can get out on her own. You know what you would have found? A funeral. Because she couldn't. There needed to be rescuers. And I say this to you from my heart. If you've never understood this truth, It's not just about being nice to people and trying to do good. It's putting your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, something takes place. It's spiritual what God does. But he comes into our life. He doesn't make us perfect. No perfect people here. He forgives us. He gives us peace. He allows us to find joy. He gives us a sense of purpose. And as long as we live on the face of this earth, he's with us. And when we finish our life, no matter when that will be, we will be with him forever. That's why it's called the good news. I mean, it's not just good news. It's good news. Would you bow together with me, please, for a word of prayer? Just asking, downstairs, upstairs, everyone, heads bowed, no one looking around. I'm about to close in prayer. Not going to go on for the next 15, 20 minutes. Relax. But I wonder, as I go to prayer, if I might pray for you. I wonder if you're here today and you might say, Pastor, you don't know me. You don't know all that's going on in my world and my life. But I need this relationship with Jesus. I'm confused. I'm struggling. I'm going through hurts and pains. But I'm coming to understand all of the Old Testament over and over and over gave prophecies that a rescuer would come. And I need that rescuer in my life today. No one looking around, just with heads bowed and eyes closed. I ask a question. Could you, just by slipping up your hand, indicate, Pastor, pray for me? I'm not going to embarrass you. No one's going to end up knowing. But I just want to know, is there anybody here that would say, I need that relationship with God. I need that rescue. Downstairs, upstairs, anyone. Father God, we come before you with thanks and praise because you are a great God. You are a God who understood our need and provided for us exactly what we needed. And we find it through the pages of the scriptures, through the prophetic word that tells us over and over and over about who you are and why you came. And we thank you for that, Lord, today. And now I pray, Lord, for each of us here in this room, as we are here, Father, that we would understand your truth, that we would recognize the need to be knowing you and trusting you, and that, Lord, we would be prepared to share that word with others who need to understand the love of God. Why is it so meaningful at this Christmas time? Because Christmas is about love. Yes, it's good that we spend time with families and with friends, but truly the season is about Jesus, the rescuer, our Savior. Help us to understand him, to love him, and to share him with others. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bob Sheridan. Pastor Bob Sheridan and Palos Bible Church reserve all copyright protections under applicable law. For more information, please visit palosbiblechurch.com.